Chapter 80 Pitt steered the rented Rover sedan cautiously down the narrow, rain-slickened country road. The tall beech trees lining the shoulders seemed to close in and attack the moving car as they pelted its steel roof with the heavy runoff from their leaves. Pitt was tired, dead tired. He had set out on his odyssey, not sure of what it was he might find, if anything. He'd begun as Joshua Hayes Brewster and his crew of miners had begun, on the docks of Aberdeen, Scotland. And then he'd followed their death-strewn path across Britain, and almost to the old ocean dock at Southampton, from which the Titanic had set out on her maiden voyage. He turned his gaze from the pounding wipers on the windshield, and glanced down at the blue notebook lying on the passenger seat. It was filled with dates, places, miscellaneous jottings and torn newspaper articles he had accumulated along the way. The musty files of the past had told him little. Two Americans found dead. The April 7, 1912 editions of the Glasgow papers noted 15 pages back from the headline. The detail barren stories were as deeply buried as the bodies of Coloradans John Caldwell and Thomas Price were in a local cemetery. Their tombstones, discovered by Pitt in a small churchyard, offered virtually nothing other than their names and dates of death. It was the same story with Charles Whitney, Walter Schmidt, and Werner O'Deming. Of Alvin Coulter he could find no trace. And finally there was Vernon Hall. Pitt hadn't found his resting place either. Where had he fallen? Had his blood been spilled amid the neat and orderly landscape of the Hampshire Downs, or perhaps somewhere on the back streets of Southampton itself? Out of the corner of one eye, he caught a marker that gave the distance to the great harbor port as 20 kilometers. Pitt drove on mechanically. The road curved and then paralleled a lovely, rippling Itchen stream, famous throughout southern England for its fighting trout, but he didn't notice it. Up ahead, across the emerald-green farmlands of the coastal plain, a small town came into view, and he decided he would stop there for breakfast. An alarm went off in the back of Pitt's mind. He jammed on the brakes, but much too hard. The rear wheels broke loose, and the Rover skidded around in a perfect 360-degree circle, coming to rest, still aimed southward, but sunk to the hubcaps in the yielding muck of a roadside ditch. Almost before the car had fully stopped, Pitt threw open the door and leaped out. His shoes sank out of sight and became stuck, but he pulled free of them and ran back down the road in his stocking feet. He halted at a small sign beside the road. Part of the lettering was obscured by a small tree that had grown up around it. Slowly, as if he were afraid his hopes would be shattered by yet another disappointment, he pushed aside the branches, and suddenly it all became quite clear. The key to the riddle of Joshua Hayes Brewster and the Byzanium was there in front of him. He stood there, soaking up the falling rain, and in that instant he knew that everything had been worthwhile.